I've been reading in Zephaniah lately. That's where I came across that verse. And there's a reason that I was reading in Zephaniah. I won't ask you to raise your hand. I could ask you, how many of you have read the book of Zephaniah recently? And you may say, I don't read Job that much. I haven't read Zephaniah either. I remember hearing a minister preaching about studying the Bible, and he said he likes to study the Bible in units, the books of the Bible, and to take a book and to read it through and read it again and read it again, and then try to find out as much as he can about it, and then feed upon that book and so on. And then he said he thinks that's very important. And I remember he threw this in. He said, after all, you wouldn't want to meet Obadiah in heaven and have him say, how did you like my little book? You wrote a book? Obadiah, yeah. Well, Zephaniah's book is also rather short, not as short as Obadiah, 3 chapters long. And it was 2 Sundays ago that I was reading at the table in our Promise book by Spurgeon. That would have been June 9th, so 3 Sundays if you count yesterday. And there was a verse from Zephaniah, and there was something about what Spurgeon wrote that just kept after me. It was this. This is the verse, the 12th verse of Zephaniah 3. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And so Spurgeon writes about the poor of this world, rich in faith, and the Lord has even now his faithful remnant. And he says, am I one of them? And he said that a few times in the little reading. Am I one of them? And he kept after me. I said, I have to look at Zephaniah. What is he covering right there in that section of Zephaniah? That's the end of the book. When true religion is ready to die out among the wealthy, it finds a home among the poor of this world, rich in faith. The Lord has even now his faithful remnant. Am I one of them? Perhaps it is because men are afflicted and poor that they learn to trust in the name of the Lord. He that hath no money must try what he can do on trust. He whose own name is good for nothing in his own esteem acts wisely to rest in another name, even the best of names, the name of Jehovah. God will always have a trusting people. And those will be an afflicted and poor people. Little as the world thinks of them, their being left in the midst of a nation is the channel of untold blessings to it. Here we have the conserving salt which keeps in check the corruption which is in the world through lust. Again, the question comes home to each one of us, am I one of them? Am I afflicted by the sin within me and around me? Am I poor in spirit? Poor spiritually in my own judgment? Do I trust in the Lord? That is the main business. Jesus reveals the name, the character, the person of God. Am I trusting in him? If so, I am left in this world for a purpose. Lord, help me to fulfill it. So this led me to read Zephaniah. And I saw that Zephaniah, as one of the minor prophets near the end of the Old Testament, as you know, it's kind of a summary. His message is very similar to other minor prophets. He inveighs against the sin of God's people. He pronounces judgment that is sure to come because they have forsaken the Lord. Zephaniah also pronounces judgments upon surrounding nations, enemies of God's people, showing that all nations are accountable to God. But at the end of the book, he ends on such an up note. Not all the prophets end like that, but there's such an up note, such a wonderful group of promises for God's faithful ones. He calls them the remnant of Israel. But as Spurgeon says, God has a people. They're those who truly trust in him. Those who are saved by the Lord and are being saved, as Sister Auntie brought out, being changed by his power. They have a heart for God. God has worked in them in a wonderful way. And this one verse that I just read is talking about them. Those who are afflicted, those who are poor, those who trust in the name of the Lord. And Zephaniah speaks about a new day that is dawning. And these are the ones that are going to be ready for the reign of righteousness. These are the ones that will enjoy that wonderful day, God's new day. And these last verses are so encouraging. And I'm not going to take a lot of time with them tonight. We do want to also remember the Lord Jesus and come and receive from him at his table. But here he speaks about these people, the remnant of Israel. Verse 9, it says this: "Then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid." And then we read about the new song and the rejoicing in the Lord and the way the Lord, our Redeemer, he's the judge of all the earth, but he's also our Redeemer, and he rejoices in redemption. He sings the song over his people. But here about the remnant, I'm going to read from the NIV. I think it's a little clearer for us, especially a couple things I want to bring out here in the 9th verse. "Then will I purify the lips of the peoples." Right before this, God is again speaking of the terrible judgment that will come because of sin when his fierce anger is revealed. But then, there's this new day dawning. It's not just a day of judgment and wrath, but it's a day of salvation, a day of rejoicing, a day for God's redeemed ones. "Then will I purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder." The blessings of God's new day are not for everyone. There's a new day dawning, but that day is characterized by righteousness, by truth, and by righteousness. And only those who are true and righteous will enter into it. Zephaniah speaks about the remnant of Israel that will do no wrong. And I was thinking of Spurgeon. Am I one of them? As I read that, and I read this too. Am I one of them? But I think here, right in these 4 or 5 verses that I read, we have an answer as to whether we belong. Whether we belong. And the first one is this: do we have lips that are cleansed? Do we use those cleansed lips to call on the name of the Lord? Are we a people that call? Are we people that call on the name of the Lord? Have our lips been cleansed? Then will I purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. Now, I'll confess that that phrase is the reason I'm using the NIV. In the King James, it says, with one consent, and I like it. It means the same thing, but here we are embarking on service for the Lord. And we want to have pure lips. Of course, that means a pure heart, trusting in the Lord alone, calling on his name, and serving him alone, serving him together. There's a unity that God calls for in his service. We're not all called to the same jobs. Just yesterday, I was teaching Sunday school, and from Galatians 2, and I noticed that the Apostle Paul went up to Jerusalem to see James and Peter and John, and he wanted to talk to them about the message that they were preaching and the message that he was preaching, and they gave him the right hand of fellowship. And then it says, they knew that they were called to minister to the Jews, and they knew that I, Paul, was called to minister to the Gentiles. Now, all of them were pointing people, Jews and Gentiles, to Christ. All of them. And yet they had a different calling, right? So not all the same, but they were working together. Paul, Peter, James, John, working together. And so it is with us. You who work in the kitchen, you who work on the grounds, you who are counselors, serving the Lord, we have one goal, that Jesus be praised, honored, and glorified here, and that God's will be done, and so we serve shoulder to shoulder. And that's what the remnant does. That's what those who are the true children of God do. Next one, they put away their pride. Did you notice that in verse 11, on that day you will not be put to, oh, let's read 10 also, from beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers, my scattered people will bring me offerings. On that day you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me, because I will remove from this city those who rejoice in their pride. Never again will you be haughty on my holy hill, but I will leave within you the meek and humble who trust in the name of the Lord. Here we put our pride away. We humble ourselves before God and before one another. And God blesses that. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. We're not perfect yet. We're still dealing with things in our lives. But God, as we said before, is a mighty Savior. And we look to him. And we pray that he will purify our lips and our hearts and make us all that he wants us to be. We're giving ourselves to him, opening our lives to his gracious working, recognizing how deeply we need him. I don't suppose we can recognize how deeply we need him, but we recognize that there's a great need in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit reveals this to us, and we flee to Jesus, and we say, Lord, you are the Savior for me. I thank you for the riches of your love. I thank you that you loved me and gave yourself for me. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have begun a good work in me, and you're well able to perform that work until the day when I see you face to face. And then let's see, one more. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong. They will speak no lies, nor will deceit be found in their mouths. They will eat and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. So they're growing in holiness. We know that we have come to know him, the Apostle John says, if we obey his commands. Do you find joy in doing what he says? Is there something in you that just rejoices to walk in his paths and do his wills insofar as he reveals that to you. We have a book here that shows us so much of what we ought to shun and put aside and what we ought to embrace and do if we love Jesus. And so are we growing? Are we growing in holiness? How important that is. There's this new day that's prophesied here for the people of God, a day that's marked by peace and joy and security, and it's for those who are really God's children. I noticed tomorrow's verse in our devotional. It's from Philippians 3:3, and it speaks about being the real thing. It says, we are the circumcision, meaning we are sons and daughters of Abraham, sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus. We're the real Christians. Now, what are we? We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. And that's tomorrow's reading in the devotional book. But here you know that you're a true child of God if you're calling on the name of the Lord and you're desiring to serve Him only and you want a heart and you want lips that are pure before Him. Your pride has been broken. You're poor in spirit. You take up a meek and a humble attitude in His presence. That's what wisdom and understanding is, right? Isn't it? At the end of that chapter in Job, it's to fear the Lord. That's wisdom and departing from evil, right? Is understanding. And then, if you're growing in holiness, so number one, calling on the name of the Lord and trusting Him alone. Number two, our pride broken, poor in spirit, recognizing that we need Jesus, and along with that, loving one another and wanting God's best for each one, and then growing in holiness, obeying His commandments. Is this true of us? Are we growing in our relationship to God? Are we coming closer to Jesus? Then we can have this assurance that we are His, and how wonderful that is. We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. We trust God alone. Dear Lord, let this be true of every one of us. Touch our hearts, Lord. We thank You that it can be true of each one of us, that we can be Your true children. This is done by Your power, and we thank You for it. You are a mighty Savior, Lord. God is able to raise up from these stones, children of Abraham. Don't be proud because of your earthly lineage. God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. Oh God, we want to be real. We want to be real, so touch our hearts. If we don't know yet that we truly are Yours, I pray that we shall reach out to You during these days and call upon Your name and find this wonderful Savior to be ours. Thank You, Lord, that You are real and that we can be real before You. Hallelujah. You have come to make it so. And oh, we thank You for Your love, the riches of Your love, of Your mercy, and of your grace to each one of us. I pray that You will help us, Lord, to keep these things in mind so that we will call on Your name each day, that we will serve You shoulder to shoulder. Oh God, help us all. Work this unity among us. Here we come to Your table. And here we are one in You, Lord. We partake of one bread and drink one cup. Oh, Lord, I pray that You will just unite us in love for You and in service to you, Lord, shoulder to shoulder. Help us to pray in the Holy Ghost. Call on your name with purified hearts and purified lips. Oh, make this important to every one of us. Keep it in the forefront, Lord, of our hearts, of our minds, as we serve you together here. Let it be shoulder to shoulder, and remove from us the pride of our hearts, Lord. Oh, how we need you to work mightily and deeply within us. And then may we all grow in holiness and in the love for you that makes us desire to do your will and keep your commands. Thank you that you are a great Savior, and that we are participating as we look to you in faith. We are participating in this present salvation. Jesus, you are saving us now. Jesus, you are making us holy as God is holy. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you. This is no small thing. It is something so wonderful, Lord. Help us to just yield ourselves to you in faith. Stir our hearts in these days, we pray, to love you and serve you better. For your great name's sake, for your glory, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.